is going to read to us from John. Thank you, Jan. I am reading from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, verses 25 in chapter 4 through 2 in chapter 5. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give to the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, as we begin our time of meditation, be with us, open our ears, open our hearts, and open our minds to your word. Amen. Sometimes, don't you just wish you could find a spot in the world where the news is all good? Each night, Greg and I turn on the 6 o'clock news and continue to watch the national news until 7 o'clock. Sometimes I think we're punishing ourselves. By the time 7 o'clock rolls around, I'm sometimes sure that there's no hope for humanity. Between the political problems, the hunger that exists around the globe, and even the hunger in our own backyards, the wars and rumors of wars, the killings, the shootings, the children who were brought to this country illegally and are now being held in less than positive situations, it's a lot. Then this week we hear of some radicals training children to shoot and training them to perform mass murders at schools. It's pretty sad. We don't need to go to Syria or Afghanistan or Iran or any other country to hear the bad news. It's enough to make us wonder, where is God? Today's reading urges us to reach out to a God of love, a God of forgiveness, to have faith in Jesus, who is the bread of heaven, the one to whom we owe our thanksgiving. Today's readings lead us to a life of faith, faith in the risen Lord, and faith in our fellow man. So how do we do this? How do we not just give up and succumb to the news of the world, which is all gloom and doom? The answer is in our history as Christians. Jesus promised us a better life. For those who saw him, for those who questioned who he was, they often saw him, but they didn't believe. Yet through faith, we believe. We try to believe. Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to understand that the things that go on in the world could be permitted to happen in the sight of a loving God. Throughout the Gospel of John, the point is made that Jesus is very hard to figure out sometimes. He's often confusing, and he says a lot of confusing things. He says, "I am the bread of heaven." Really? What's that all about? We see bread as the Israelites did, like the manna that came down from heaven to feed them. Jesus can be difficult to see, not because he was of another age a few thousand years ago, and we are of a more modern time. He can just plain be difficult to see in a world full of breaking news. It can be hard to spot Jesus among all the gloom and doom. It can be hard to be positive and thankful in the midst of some of the world's problems. Paul in Ephesians showed us that we could be thankful anywhere at any time. He wrote letters from prison. He wrote letters from places of despair. Yet he continued to have faith in a loving God. Throughout time, the world has hungered for peace. This hunger can be fed only by the bread from heaven. People, such as Paul, throughout the ages, have faced horrible circumstances. People who are prisoner of war, victims of hate. Yet these individuals have lived through the agony and the horrid conditions that they face, and they've come out with positive outlooks. They've come out with a strong faith. Corrie ten Boom, a survivor of the concentration camps of World War II, wrote a book called The Hiding Place. It's a true story of how she and her family helped Jews escape the Nazis during World War II. This family actually hid the Jews in their home. She and her family were taken to Hitler's concentration camps when their plan was discovered. Her family died in the camps, but she survived, and she was miraculously released, and this enabled her to tell her story. She has said some wonderful things. Her outlook was so positive all through her life. Her faith was beyond belief, considering what she endured. Many of her favorite quotes show this tenacity and faith in Jesus, the bread of heaven. I'd like to share a few of those quotes with you. She wrote, "Happiness isn't something that depends on your surroundings. It is something we make inside ourselves. One can be in the midst of despair and still feel at peace. It's a matter of what's inside our hearts, not our physical being." I read a story of a blind woman who was taken to a nursing home by her only living relative, her nephew. As she was introduced to the facility director and taken on a tour, she kept exclaiming about how wonderful everything was. "Oh, this is a beautiful room. I love the feel of the warmth of the sun in this room." In the cafeteria, she exclaimed about the wonderful food, which was really quite bland. Finally, her nephew addressed this overdose of positivity. "Aunt Ethel," he said, "how can you be sure that everything is so great? You can't see, and obviously your taste buds are a bit off." "Oh no," she explained, "everything is fine. When I woke up this morning, I thanked God for another wonderful day, and I vowed to myself to make the most of every single second. I will be just fine wherever I am, as long as I have Jesus by my side and a good attitude to lead the way." We should all be so inclined. In correspondence with the young person in prison, I received a letter. It said, "I'm doing well. In fact, I'm great. I'm doing better than I have been in a long time. This person is now drug-free and planning a new life. Prison walls cannot keep Jesus from working in the lives of believers." Another quote, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." How often, and I'm the number one candidate for this, do we worry needlessly about what might be when we know that the future is already taken care of by Jesus, who is the bread of life? Why do we do this to ourselves? God is in control. Another quote, "Faith is like radar that sees through the fog. The reality of things is at a distance that the human eye cannot see." This one really hit home on Thursday morning. As I drove down to Pennsylvania, to Candor on the border, Thursday morning to be with my mom and dad, it was really, really foggy from Dryden on down. I kept telling myself, the foggy atmosphere isn't going to keep me from getting to my destination. God is in control. I'm not. My mom is an example of the kind of faith in action that we're speaking of this morning. Now, there have been times in my life when I really, really wanted a pity party. I wish that my mom could just once see the glass half empty instead of overflowing. She's the type of person who personifies the quote, "When life gives you lemons, make lemonade." And sometimes I just didn't want to make lemonade. I sometimes just wanted to be miserable, but she wouldn't hear of it. "Peggy Jane, quit moping and get on with things." She said this more than once, and in talking to my sisters this week, I heard it, she said it to all. "When life as a farm wife and a mother with a bunch of kids would get me down, I might take to complaining, and I would hear, 'You have a wonderful husband, perfect kids, why are you moping? Be thankful, get on with it.' Really, Mom, can't I have just a little bit of sympathy here?" The answer was always the same, "Shape up, lady." As I worked with Mom on Friday morning to get her breakfast and get her dressed and down to the hospital, I got another dose of this positiveness. This time, I was feeling blessed and thankful to have it. As most of you have known, my mom has been confused for the last couple years and her dementia and senility caused her to be a bit mixed up. For the first hour that I was at her house, she thought I was Amy, my younger sister, who's only 40-something, so I was quite happy and went along with that. Okay, I'll be Amy. As she sat to eat, she looked out the window and she says, "Oh, it's a beautiful day, isn't it?" She commented on the hummingbird feeding from the hanging basket and mentioned that we needed to take a picture of that morning glory. She then proceeded to put on an outfit, and she kept commenting how she knew Dad would like it because it was blue. As we drove to the hospital, she commented on how green the grass was and how nice the flowers looked. As she held Dad's hand before he went in for his procedure, she was once again Mrs. Glass overflowing. "Now, George, I'll be here when you come out. We've got to get home and after all this mess is over, so get it over with." The only time all weekend she was less than positive was when we got the call Saturday morning that Dad had had a setback. At that point, she had one thing in her mind, get to the hospital so I can see him. She prayed, she worried, but through it all, she had faith that God was in charge and Jesus was by her side. On more than one occasion, we would see her sort of looking into a far-off place, and we'd ask her, "Is everything okay, Mom?" And several times her answer was, "I'm fine, I'm just praying." Now, this wasn't her first ER, OR, ICU rodeo. We figured out the other day she has 7 kids, 20 grandkids, 29 great-grandkids, and 2 great-great-grandkids. She's been there before. But each time that she's been there, she has gone in with a positive outlook and raved about the wonderful medical staff, and she put her trust in them and in her Lord. That's faith. That's how someone is fed the bread of heaven in large doses. Jesus said, "Feed on this bread, and you will never be hungry again. Feed on this bread, and you will be raised up." We may never feel the physical hunger that many feel each day when they wake up with no food to eat, but our hunger may come in a different form. Perhaps our hunger is the type where we feel unfulfilled. We rush around looking for new experiences. We go out and buy this and buy that. We change out our vehicles. We buy a bigger house. We're looking for satisfaction. As the saying goes, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. This morning we will celebrate communion. Let's all take a moment to really look at that bread and that wine. And let's feel the power of Jesus, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.